Last Sunday, we talked about the idea of showing gratitude for God. And hopefully it was a reminder to us all that without Him, we are nothing and that we have absolutely nothing. But one of the things I want us to understand is that when we show gratitude, it does not stop with God. God is a worthy recipient and obviously should take a lot of our time and thanksgiving and praise to Him. But as we consider gratitude, we also understand that that gratitude should be shown to one another. That we should have a healthy thanks to and for each other. And it's interesting as we look in the Bible how many times that's brought to mind. But even more interesting than that, I think there's a person in the New Testament who illustrates that point so well. So oftentimes we hear lessons on the Apostle Paul. We hear of his faith, we hear of his diligence, we hear of his love for Christ, we hear of his preaching, and all those things are exactly right. But it's interesting that sometimes we tend to overlook the amount of gratitude that he illustrated for others. And so this morning, as we look at the idea of being thankful for one another, I want us to use the Apostle Paul as our guide in that. I want us to look and to see the kinds of things that he did and to understand that those are the things after which we should pattern ourselves. As we think about the Apostle Paul, one thing that we understand is that he was thankful for his fellow Christians. You don't have to read many of his epistles to find that coming out extremely frequently and extremely clearly. But I think something that we need to understand about that is the thankfulness was not limited. When we find that gratitude being shown, it ranged from the very strongest Christians to even those who struggled in the faith, those who had difficulties with their spirituality, those who were somewhat perplexed with problems. They did not lose the appreciation that the Apostle Paul had for them. I think one point that brings that out very clearly is when we look at the opening of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 1 and verse 4, look at what Paul says to the brethren at Corinth. He says, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." Now let's recall, the Corinthians are the same ones that he's going to say, by the way, you are factious and you've got to get rid of it. And they're the same ones that the apostle is going to say, you've got a man there who has his father's wife and you are so puffed up you're doing nothing about it. And he's going to go through all of these difficulties and all of these problems because the Corinthians struggled as Christians. But nonetheless, in the opening of this epistle, the apostle Paul says, I am thankful and I am grateful to have you as brethren. And I think that just simply illustrates to us the extent of the gratitude that he showed for others. But let's draw that down to a little more specific now. If you will, go ahead and turn over to the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And as we look here, what we're going to find is a listing of names. In fact, I would have chosen the first part of this chapter for the reading this morning had I known who was going to read. I would not have mind giving this to Olin because I know he would have practiced those names. But it's a difficult section to read. And a lot of times we ignore this section, perhaps not ignore it. We don't study it enough because we are somewhat scared off by all of the names that we have listed. I think more times than not, we tend not to study it because when we're studying the book of Romans, we run out of time in our class. And by the time we get to chapter 16, we just kind of give a brief overview of it. But if you look at this chapter, the first part of it is filled with statements of gratitude. The first part of this chapter is filled with all of these people to whom the Apostle Paul said, I'm thankful for what you've done for me. Two that come out very early in this chapter are a man and a woman by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. And if you look down to verses 3 and 4, he says, greet Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life. To whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. This is a couple who no less than 6 times are mentioned in the writings of the Apostle Paul. This is a couple that on every occasion is doing something good. Every time they're mentioned, there's something good, a positive connotation given with them. And as the Apostle Paul here is taking time to thank those who have been of spiritual service, to show gratitude for these fellow laborers in the work, here is this couple once again. And as we look at these two, there is no doubt that they had made a tremendous positive impact in his work in preaching the gospel. Well, as we consider them, I want us to understand that we should also show that same kind of gratitude. That as we think about our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we think about those godly couples that we know, that we should have the same kind of appreciation for them. Just as Paul is calling Aquila and Priscilla to mind so often, so should we. For those workers who have made a part of their marriage and a part of their home a very devoted service to our Lord. As I think about that, I oftentimes think about men who take on the work of elder or men who take on the work of deacon. Over the years, I've been around a number of men who have been involved in these works. And I've come to appreciate more and more that there are some of these men that when they talk about becoming a deacon, it's in a plural pronoun that they use. They'll say, when we became a deacon, when we became an elder. And what they're talking about is the man and his wife. And the reason is, any man who is a good elder, who is a good deacon, knows that he cannot be a good elder or a good deacon without a good wife by his side. And I think as people who benefit from that, being in a congregation where there are so many faithful couples who have taken on that work, we need to appreciate just exactly what it is they're doing. As the Apostle Paul described taking on the work of an elder, he said, "The saying is trustworthy, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task." A man who becomes an elder, a man who becomes a deacon, has got to have a wife who understands that in him taking this role, he is taking on something that is going to really take up a good deal of not only his time, but their time. Time when a couple might be doing something in a social way, when they're doing something that they just simply enjoy, that time is going to be diminished and replaced with this work in serving God. A good wife is one who realizes that she's going to have to give effort and attention and time as well in this work that's going on. Most of the time, unless you have been very closely associated with an elder and his wife, you don't have any idea of what this is about. Sometimes I'm afraid when we just kind of give it a novel view, we think, well, an elder, perhaps he has to come to a meeting every once in a while, before the meeting time that we have together. You know, maybe 30, 45 minutes a week he's devoting to that. I can tell you, if that's what he's doing, he's not an effective elder. An effective elder, an effective deacon, is a man who is giving much time in his service to God. And an effective spouse of that elder or deacon is one who appreciates, accepts, and supports that. And for those kind of people, we need to be showing gratitude. We, as Paul, need to offer up in thanksgiving in our prayers and to them the gratitude that we have for the work that they're doing. But let me look at this from a little bit different angle as well. I think we also need to have a great amount of gratitude for couples who open their homes in hospitality. We know what the Apostle Peter said when he said, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." I think all of us understand it's a whole lot easier to prepare excuses than to prepare our homes for hospitality. You and I can come up with every reason in the book, and some of them may be really good reasons, as to why we're not doing what we're doing, but that doesn't help anything. What we know, though, is when a congregation is strong, you have a fabric within that congregation who has taken 1 Peter 4:9 seriously, who view this as it ought to be, not a suggestion, but rather a command. That homes, the blessings that God has given us, are to be shared with others, those who are in need, plus those who need to be edified amongst us, those who we can help to build up. Over the years, I have known some tremendous couples in that regard. Men and women who said, I don't really care that you're going to be impressed by how my home looks. That's not my intent. I'm not going to serve you fancy food on fancy dishes, on fancy tablecloths. What I'm here to do is to build up our relationship in the Lord. And I look at the congregations where those people are, and I see in there a strength that is severely lacking in other places. In other places where people don't view that, where you don't have couples who are saying, this is a major part of our work. And so I would suggest to all of us that for those who are there to draw the strands of a congregation closer together, that indeed we are thankful and we are showing gratitude to these godly men and women who are working to make the Lord the centerpiece of their home and their brethren stronger because of their relationship together. Paul was thankful for godly couples, and so should we. But that's not where it stopped. Paul was also very thankful for godly individuals. It wasn't just those who were married. It wasn't just the Aquilas and Priscillas for whom he showed gratitude, but also for those who were single, or at least a spouse is not mentioned. Here in chapter 16, we have a number of those people. In fact, if you look down to verse 6, we find a woman here. We don't know a lot about her, but he simply says, greet Mary. But notice what he says after that, who has worked hard for you. I don't know if this Mary was married. We don't know anything about her. But what we do know is that she was a hard worker. And what we do know is that her name is here encapsulated in Scripture as a centerpiece showing us a godly woman who was faithful in the work of the Lord. One of the most intriguing thanksgivings that Paul gives in this chapter is found just a few verses down in verse 13. It's interesting how he words this. He says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. But then notice the second part of this verse. Also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. It would be very interesting to know what the Apostle Paul had in mind. It would be so interesting to understand what Rufus's mother had done. But I think we all get the general idea, don't we? Here is a woman who had taken Paul in. Here is a woman who was the mother figure to him that perhaps he had lost or had no more. Here is a woman who was doing something for him so that when he was thanking these Christians and showing gratitude, here is her reference right in the middle of all of these great saints. We understand as well from the reading that we had just a few minutes ago that there were other godly people scattered throughout the pages of the text. Philemon, we know there was a difficulty there with his servant and there needed to be some bonds rebuilt. But as he starts that passage, note what he says about Philemon. He's thankful for him. He's a dear brother to him. Note those terms of endearment showing the gratitude that he had for this faithful man. Numerous others could be mentioned. But as we think about these examples, is there someone in your life who you can think of who has tremendously impacted you? I want you to think for just a minute about your life as a Christian and perhaps the months or years before you were a Christian. Is there a name that immediately comes to your mind where you can say, if it had not been for this person, I don't know where I would be today? Now, sometimes when you're raised in a Christian family and your parents are bringing you to church, there may be a whole lot of names that can go there. But for most of us, there's someone who we can think of immediately and we can say, this person had a tremendous impact on me. Maybe it was the fact that you had a spiritual mother. Maybe it was kind of like Paul, where he's thinking about this fellow worker and he says, and his mother, who is a mother to me as well. Maybe it was the fact is that you're a Christian because you had a friend whose parent took great interest in you. Is there a woman who fits that regard? Is there someone who is a spiritual father to you? Maybe after you became a Christian, here was a man who kind of took you and helped you to grow and to become what you are today. Can you think of somebody right offhand? The answer to that is probably yes. But now let me follow that up. Have you thanked that person? Have you gone to that person and said, because of you, I am what I am today? It may very well be that person is long gone. It may be that that person is no longer around, that it was someone far back in your history. Have you thanked God recently for that person? That God worked it so that your relationship with Him, with your relationship with her, got you on the track to being right with Him? We've got to take time to thank those who have done so much for us. But let me say one more thing before we leave this point. As we think about godly individuals, I think there's two groups that oftentimes get very much overlooked. Not that anyone is in it for glory. We understand that. But I want you to think for just a minute about all of the godly women and godly singles who do so much in the work of the Lord. Here in chapter 16 is Mary, who was that hard worker. Other women are mentioned in the writings of Paul who were hard workers in his service. And I think sometimes single Christians often become invisible Christians in a congregation if we're not careful. Here's someone who has not got a spouse for whatever reason. And because of that, takes a very quiet role in the working of a congregation, doing a lot but getting very little recognition for that. I think churches have got to be careful in both of these regards. There are a number of women who are Christians who do so much in the service of God that get so little attention. I remember several years ago I was with a congregation that was in very, very dark days spiritually. It was just a bad, bad time, bad situation. There's a lot of tension and there's a lot of hostility. The elders were no longer, they had all resigned. And I remember one day, actually backing up two or three weeks before this, it had come time for the quarter to change in the teaching schedule. And just quite honestly, no one would sign up to teach class. That's how bad it was. And it went on and it got closer to the day, and the day came when the classes were to change. And in those little classes that day, there were no teachers. There was a refusal. There's a lot of darkness in that spiritually. But actually, I've used that day to make a very positive point in my own life, because it reminded me how much gets done that you and I so many times fail to ever observe. The classes change. There's a teacher in, a teacher who's prepared, a teacher who is taking on the responsibility for our children in helping us to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, who's taken time to develop things that will help them to develop spiritually. Have you thanked that person lately? I can tell you, I have fallen far short in that. That as I think about over the years, all of the people, all of these godly women who have been very faithful influences on my kids, I tell you, I should have shown a whole lot more gratitude toward that. And there are so many women who are just good Christians, who are not going to shine a light on themselves, who are not going to attract attention, but they're the ones who are solid. They're the ones who you know are going to be in Bible class every Sunday, every Wednesday, prepared for that class, having studied for it. There are those who are taking care of the needs of others, both physically and spiritually, who you and I may never know what they're doing. Are we thanking God for people like that? And I would say the same thing for those Christians who are single. That in the work that they are choosing to do in their walk in the kingdom, it may not be in the regards of an Aquila and Priscilla, but nonetheless that work is just as important and just as necessary, and sometimes perhaps even more helpful, because they can take a role sometimes that a husband and wife cannot. Marriage is a wonderful institution, but marriage requires a lot of time. And one who is single who does not have that responsibility, very much like the man under our view this morning, the Apostle Paul, has the time to do things that perhaps others do not. Are we grateful for those men and women? Are we thankful for what they're doing? We need to understand that we must take the time to show that gratitude. But I want us to understand as well that the Apostle Paul was thankful for godly churches. It wasn't just the couples and it wasn't just the singles. Sometimes there was a collective gratitude given for them, for the work that they were doing. And so we find passages such as in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Here in Romans chapter 16, in connection with Aquila and Priscilla, he says, "Greet also the church in their house." They had taken it on themselves to allow their home to be a meeting place. Greet that church as well. What we find from the Apostle Paul is that we should be very grateful for faithful groups of brethren, wherever they may be. Those times when we're traveling and we come across a group that we meet with, and here they are, and perhaps few in number, and not a whole lot of financial support there, but nonetheless, they're striving. You ever give thanks for those groups? The groups that you might come across who are 20, 25 in number. Groups, maybe 10 or 15, two or three families who are working in their area of the world to be good influences. Do you give thanks for those people? But let's not stop there. Do we give thanks for our own congregations? The groups of which we are a part. Sometimes, if we're not awfully careful, we tend to focus on what we think we want rather than what we have. It's never wrong to look ahead, to plan, to set goals, to try to make congregations better than they are now. In fact, that's what we've got to be doing. Stagnation is a problem. We want to grow, but yet in that, we don't want to take for granted what we have right now in the present. That's helping us to become better Christians. Do you realize that by the most conservative estimate you can imagine, that within this room there is over 1,000 years of Christian experience? Ever thought about that? I imagine the number's closer to 2,000. Somebody might be saying, "Well, I put in a couple of centuries of those on my own." Yeah. We understand that within these walls, there is a mass of experience, a mass of knowledge that is almost unrivaled in the world as we speak. Now, what do we do? Do we point to the problems and do we point to the things and say, "Well, I don't like this and I don't like the way that's going"? Or do we thank God for what we have? Because I tell you, if we're busy thanking God, all of those problems suddenly fall into perspective. And we realize that perhaps the things that we think are so huge and glaring and bad really are not. Are we thankful for what we've got? Are we thankful for the blessings that the Lord has given us? Well, as we consider all of these things, I want us to understand that when it comes to gratitude, the Apostle Paul is giving us some very serious and worthy lessons. He says, in the things that you're doing and showing gratitude, the example that he gives to us, one that we should follow, is that he took nobody for granted. So many times within the Scriptures, we find that. And it's such a clear illustration of Paul's own godliness. In the fact that he took no one for granted, he is showing us the quality of God Himself. Don't we understand that from passages such as 2 Peter 3:9? "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish." The Lord doesn't say, "Well, I've got my number now. I'm okay with that." He wants everyone to be saved. He takes nobody for granted. We think as well about what we're told in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 to bring the point home even clearer. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's how much God loves us. That's how much God refuses to take any one of us for granted, that He would give the very best of heaven for us. Let me remind us all that there is a reason Paul's words of gratitude are recorded in the inspired words of the Bible. It is not filler. It is not fodder. It is not there to give us a warm feeling on the inside. It is to show us a clear, divinely approved example that when there are those who need to be thanked, thank them. But Paul also says in his examples, take no one for granted, no matter what age. Whether it be the mother of Rufus or whether it be Timothy, the Apostle Paul clearly shows us these were people who helped to make him more godly and appreciated that. We understand that we should be thankful as well. Are you thankful for older Christians? Maybe if you're moving into that category, you think about some of those people who we mentioned earlier, long gone now, but they were solid influences on your life. I know we're not under the law of Moses, but nonetheless, we find some very practical character-building lessons there. And I think one in Leviticus 19 and verse 32, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man. God said, when you come into the presence of someone who has these years of experience that are beyond you, respect that person for who he is. In the book of Proverbs, the apostle or the writer there also talking about age. He says, gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Do we thank those who are older? Those who are doing what they can do to help us to be godly in our old age? But it doesn't stop there. The Apostle Paul also wrote to Timothy, and he said this, let no one despise you for your youth, but set at the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Sometimes I'm afraid we take our younger Christians awfully for granted. Sometimes younger Christians make some serious mistakes. Sometimes they just do, to plain out say it, stupid things. But so did we. But yet, on the other hand, and I think with a whole lot of godly young people, there is a silent strength there that we fail to acknowledge. That they are standing firm in the midst of all manner of horrible, horrible temptations that are facing them. And when they win those battles, that helps us too, doesn't it? It shows us their strength. And so just like the Apostle Paul could thank God for Timothy, and we can find the Lord saying, show honor for those who are older, we find as well that we are thankful for all age groups. And why is that? It's because we realize, just as the Apostle Paul did, that these are influences from God. These are individuals that are sent from God Himself to help us to be stronger. And so I don't think it's any accident as we open the pages of Scripture and we look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, how many times do we find a statement somewhat akin to this when he says, I thank my God for... I want you to note your own prayers. I want you to note your own conversations. How often is this a part of it, that you thank your God for this person? For that person, for this church, for that couple. That's what the Apostle Paul shows us. And it shows us that we as well should show the gratitude for the good influences that we have in our lives. Maybe those are the easy points. Maybe those are the things that we can do. But one thing that I think the Apostle Paul shows us that perhaps we fall far short is a lesson that he teaches us, is that he took time to show this gratitude. But we're busy, aren't we? We have our lives all planned out. We've got every day on our calendar, and we've got the Google calendar to remind us in case we forget. It can send us a message, and we've got it on paper, and we've got it posted on the refrigerator because we're so busy. I'm going to offer you a challenge. Any of you want to put your schedule up against the Apostle Paul's? Anybody want to take what you're doing and put it up against his and say, well, I'm just busier than Paul was? Well, if we're unwilling to take that challenge, then I think we can understand if he had time to show gratitude, so do we. It's one of those things that we make time to do. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. We're not talking about hours on end. It's just simply letting someone know, thank you for what you've done for me. So as we think about all of these things, we understand that each of us has a lot of folks who have done a lot of things for us spiritually. The questions for us, though, are these. Are we grateful for those good influences that God has given? And if the answer to that is yes, the next question is, have we told them? And have we told God, thank you for what you've allowed to come into my life. Thank you for the influences that have made me a better person. I just imagine that all of us here this morning would agree we can do a whole lot better than we've been doing. But it's a matter of not just agreeing on that, it's a matter then of saying we're going to do better. We're going to take the time and the opportunity to let others know, more importantly, to let God know that we do indeed have a grateful heart. I thank you for your good attention this morning. And as we think about the idea of showing gratitude, we understand that without one another, we would have a very difficult time ever surviving as a Christian. But without God, we have absolutely no hope whatsoever. This morning, are you grateful for what the Lord has done? You've heard all of those passages read about Him sending His Son and what Christ has done, and perhaps you've heard the words this morning at the Lord's table of what the Lord has given to us. Are you grateful for that? Well, you know the way you show that gratitude is you become a part of His family. You show that gratitude by saying, whatever you tell me to do, Lord, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to show it, have a thankful heart in doing it. This morning, if you're not a Christian, now is the time to express that gratitude, to take God up on His gracious offer, and to enter into His family. If you failed in that regard, this gracious God will welcome you back. And with thankfulness in your heart, you can be welcomed back into the family of God if you repent of those sins you've committed. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing together?